Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe's about to give you a spicy Alex Bregman take, but of note, in this afternoon's Astros-Reds game, which is in progress, is Alex Bregman was literally just ejected from this game. He was ejected because, per MLB replay, even though replay showed he was grazed by a pitch on the arm, it was called a foul ball. The replay showed the ball didn't come close to the bat, but the play was not overturned. So who knows what they're doing in New York. Bregman made some comments while walking back to the dugout, and the umpire tossed him. Bregman, for his part, was stunned, said, "Who, me?" before walking into the dugout. Joe Espada came out and also argued, I don't know if Espada's been ejected. I believe he's still in there, but that's pretty interesting development here, and I do wonder just how much the replay center in New York does. When you look at this replay and you see that, yeah, Bregman got hit here. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's okay. So apparently, the Game Day is saying, this app is saying that it's a Espada.
Okay, I'm seeing that now.
No,
okay.
I think they both got tossed.
I think they might have both got tossed. I'm not totally sure yet.
Because Espada, that was Espada's second time out of the dugout. To talk to the ump, I think that inning, maybe even that half inning.
So
I think he got tossed pretty quick.
So here's the problem. We're watching this game on mute. The person who reported that, this is Matt Young from the Chronicle. Matt Young said that he had been ejected. He deleted that tweet. So it seems like it was just a spot that got ejected.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's hard
a little cleanup here.
It's always hard to tell when people are getting thrown out of games and there's multiple people arguing. So.
Yeah. We're watching it on mute, so we're just like, huh? Because Bregman, with the demonstrative reaction, I assumed that he did get tossed from the game. But it's a spot who gets tossed out. Alex Bregman got hit. Hopefully it wasn't on the elbow. Because he's been dealing with an elbow gremlin situation, as one does.
Yeah, gremlins are always just, you know, the biggest problem.
Joe's got teeth gremlins right now.
I do have teeth gremlins right now.
Because Joe is a good man helping a friend move, and the couch hit him in the face.
We're on a good hour streak right now.
Who's feeling all right?
30-minute streak right now.
A little Novocaine in there?
I don't know. This is why it's been Ambisol? Annoying me, and why I didn't get taken care of quicker, because it just randomly like feels good for like hours at a time, and then feels terrible again. So, you know, just gotta keep grinding through.
Gotta keep
or
grinding.
Not grind.
Don't grind your teeth, though.
Don't grind your teeth.
I have a mouth guard for that. Don't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
I've seen like the years of grinding on said mouth guard, and it's pretty interesting to see where the spots are. Well, I don't know how dentists know that, but they
one thing I'm
thank you, Dennis.
I'm glad I don't grind my teeth, thankfully. Thankfully. My son does, though, when he sleeps. Don't love that.
That's not good.
Don't love that.
I guess he has, like, all of his teeth for now, and then he'll lose
another baby teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll lose his baby teeth, and then the...
Yeah. Okay.
At some point. I don't know when that starts, guys.
I think it's, like, 5 or 6.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, what do I need to prepare, like, my tooth fairy money?
Start putting it aside.
Yeah. You know, I've always said, Sean... This is why you'd be a terrible father. But honestly, Sean, I'm starting to come around because you know that at 5 or 6, so the teeth come in.
Between you and me, I have a cousin who just lost teeth, and he's like 5 or 6.
Oh, damn. I thought you knew. Mm. I thought you knew. Mm. Anyway, Joe, something happened yesterday in baseball that you think should apply to Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Matt Chapman got a 6-year deal, $151 million.
Third baseman for the Giants.
Yes. He was one of the Scott Boras clients this offseason who struggled to find a good deal.
Why you called Scott Boras why?
Yes, he's part of this group where he signed a 3-year deal, but two of the years had opt-outs. So the Giants decided that they were going to get rid of those opt-outs, and they were going to sign him right now for a 6-year deal. I saw this deal, and my immediate reaction was I would give Alex Bregman that deal right now. Matt Chapman is only 11 months older, and you can nitpick certain stats of who's better at what. But if you look at the main things, you know, like this year and throughout their career, their wars are almost exactly the same. Their OBPs and everything like that are almost exactly the same, because you'll see Matt Chapman walks a lot more than Alex Bregman does. So while Alex Bregman's batting average is significantly better, Matt Chapman makes it up from walks. I don't think they're that different of players besides Alex Bregman's defense. Bregman's defense is much better. So he probably will want more than this. But he's a Scott Boras client. So how do you go into a negotiation now if you're the Houston Astros and not just say, hey, we'll give you that exact same deal that you just got your other client with the Giants? I mean, it's an 11-month difference. There's no age issue here coming up. But I would give him that deal right now. $25 million a year for 6 years. It's under what his technical salary is this year right now. So if you could get him for that, I'm all in. Keep him.
I'd love for this to happen as well. But I think if you're Alex Bregman, I think you're saying I'm better than him. Now, to your point, there are some comparable numbers. I think we've had this conversation before where I look at the two of them and it really is the batting average thing where I'm like, Bregman is a better hitter, and it does at least seem like Bregman also draws walks on a level that very few players do. But, I mean, I'd love the Astros to offer this. I just don't know that Alex Bregman would accept this, even if Scott Boras has set the market for third baseman at this deal.
Yeah, would he accept it? Because
the deal makes sense. I think the offer makes sense. You'd have to offer north of it, though, because he's won 2 World Series, and because I think he's a bigger deal across baseball.
All it takes is one team, right, to say, we know that this is what Matt Chapman got for 6 years, 151, but would you do 6 years, whatever ends up being $30 million a year? I mean, $30 million a year for Alex Bregman, another $25 million or $30 million on top of that. So, like, 6 years, 180. Like, that might be the cap of his market at this point. The way baseball is going, like, we're seeing one massive contract go out in the offseason. That's going to be Juan Soto. He's going to get $500 million or whatever it's going to be over 10 years. And then everyone else that's in the market is going to be trying to figure out what they're going to do. The guys who are the biggest free agents last year, Matt Chapman's now off the market, but you're going to have Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell go back into the market. Cody Bellinger's going to go back into the market, joined now by guys like Alex Bregman. So the way baseball, the owners are spending money, I just don't know if we're going to see that big contract. Like, I think the market correction in baseball is happening in front of our eyes, that we're seeing teams realize that you can't just give out these massive contracts like the Angels have done for years and let it ruin you, or the Tigers. Like, there's a market correction happening, and there's maybe one guy every year that's the exception. So I think they can keep Alex Bregman based on this deal.
A couple others on the Twitch agreeing with you. For the most part, I agree. I just wonder if there's a team out there that looks at Alex Bregman and says, he's got those intangibles, and they're willing to overspend because of that. Because
they matter.
2 World Series, 7 straight ALCS appearances, does seem like it's trending towards an 8th straight one. And on top of that, I mean, how often do you hear the broadcast glazing Bregman's baseball IQ?
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't shock me if he got a massive deal that's bigger than this. Because the slow start is one thing. But I think it was Alex called in the other day and asked us that question about would you rather the RBIs be spread out or all at once? Well, when Alex Bregman's RBIs and he's are coming all at once and he's on point, he's one of the best players in baseball.
When he's on a tear, he's really good.
Yeah.
And we've seen it multiple times here. That's where I look at the difference between he and Matt Chapman. Chapman had, what was it? Was it 2019, 2018, 2020? There was one year I remember I was like, oh, Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
But it felt like it's more the anomaly in his career as far as like, oh, this guy's maybe a challenger to Alex Bregman as one of the best third basemen in the American League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it really comes down to how desperate a team gets to fill a third base hole that they have. And I can see really a lot of things happening with Bregman. I can see him signing a 5-for-150 with the Astros, come back. I mean, we were talking about it with Dell. The Astros gave Altuve a 5-year contract. I don't know if they're going to go over 5 years for not Altuve or someone younger. I mean, maybe if Tucker comes up. Someone whose age starts with the number 3, I don't know if they're going to go more than 5 years on him. And I think that he should be trying to get $30 million on average a year, because you look at the best third baseman in baseball. You got Devers, who's making 31. You got Machado, who's making 32. Arenado making 32.5. And then Anthony Rendon making 35.5. Don't think he gets there.
That's the problem. A couple of those contracts, I bet their teams regret them.
Yeah. I
mean, definitely with Rendon. And one of those other guys that you mentioned, Sean, who are they really quickly?
Arenado, Machado, Devers.
Machado, Arenado. I don't know. I feel like San Diego probably expected more out of Machado, right? He's still in San Diego. Right?
Yeah, no, I think they're probably fine with it.
Yeah, they're good with it, but they would have expected
it's more. Not a bargain, but they're fine with it. And yeah, Devers is probably going to have to move to first at some point. Yeah,
he's a hefty guy.
They probably don't love that. But, I mean, and then the fifth highest deal is Chapman, the one he just signed. Mm-hmm. So there is kind of a gap between number 5 and that top 4. They're all making over 30. I think Bregman is going to be closer, probably into the 30s.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'd like to take Joe. It's spicy. I got something interesting when it comes to Astros contracts that I want to throw out there in the next segment. But before we do that, real quick, another NFL division prediction. This is a spicy one, and this includes Joe George's Chicago Bears.
Mm.
The NFC North. The Lions are +130, the favorites to win the division per mybookie.ag. Enter promo code BET975 for a sweet little first deposit bonus. The Packers are +220. The Bears are +275. I'm surprised that that's that high. I know that Caleb Williams and all that. The Vikings are +950. None of us are picking the Vikings. They're a mess. J.J. McCarthy's out for the year. Kevin O'Connell, I think he's a pretty good coach, but it's going to be a tough one to make happen with Sam Darnold. But the top of the division is fun. Bears are a fun play for some. What are you doing, Joe?
I'm not picking the Bears.
Not picking the Bears.
I played them +225 to make a wild card berth this year. I'm gonna go Lions.
Okay.
Because I don't totally believe in Jordan Love still. I lean to that I believe in him and what he did in the playoffs. Like his stats game like were almost identical to CJ's in the first round of the playoffs. Like, he had a great game.
He killed the Cowboys.
Yeah. So I lean that he's good, but I'm just not totally there because it was half a season. So I'm gonna go Lions, but I don't feel super confident in it.
Okay. I'm going with the Packers.
Okay.
I like the Lions too. I like Love better than Goff. That simple.
That's sometimes it is that simple.
Right.
Because I think they're both two very talented teams. I think these are, other than the Niners, probably in the top 3 of the NFC. I think off the top of my head, there's definitely no other team that I would take from the other two divisions that aren't the Niners. Lions or Packers.
Like. Right. I think in the NFC, this is the best, like, 1-2 at the top of the division. Yeah. I guess some would make the argument in the NFC West. It's the 49ers and Rams. But I think Sean McVay's making a lot happen.
Yeah.
But not a lot.
I think we'll get to the Rams later. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think just top to bottom. This is also Dan Campbell.
Man Campbell.
Yeah. Mm. Tie goes to Dan Campbell.
Applebee's spokesman now.
Yes. He's an Applebee's spokesman?
Applebee's pitchman. Wish it was Chili's.
Yeah, but like I guess like Applebee's is like the official bar and grill or whatever the NFL. So him, Purdy.
I forgot about that.
A bunch of guys are doing.
I forgot that the
NFL.
He was
pretty good. He was funny.
Honestly, the NFL should be embarrassed to be associated with Applebee's. Sorry to all the fine workers out at Applebee's.
It's not your fault.
I don't even know the last time I've seen one. I used to go to Applebee's all the time growing up. But like there's none in like League City, I don't think. So I don't even know the last time I saw an Applebee's.
I'm so loyal to Chili's. There's no way in hell you'd ever get me to go to Applebee's. I remember one time we were in Massachusetts. My dad picked me and my sister up from the airport. And there was a Mexican restaurant that we drove by on the way. My dad suggested, let's go there. And I said, are you effing kidding me? I live in Texas now. I think I'm going to eat this Yankee crap. And then he took me to Applebee's. And I wish that I'd eaten the Yankee crap because I felt like I'd just betrayed all that I am by going to Applebee's over Chili's.
I think the closest one we got is in Stafford.
One of the most intense debates I ever had with Vanessa when Vanessa was doing the back in Vag Nation. Like, we got into it over Applebee's and Chili's.
Stop.
She's an Applebee's fan. Just an absolute disgusting outrage.
I will say,
makes
Applebee's,
me think less of her. Love you, Vanessa, but makes me think less of her.
Maybe it's a Midwest thing. Because growing up in Illinois, and she grew up in what, Indiana, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That Applebee's was always bigger than Chili's.
I guess, but I don't know. I feel like Applebee's is Alabama. Like
they had the market.
I'd rather go to Waffle House than Applebee's. And I had that option after every single high school football game that I played. There's like an Applebee's across the street from a Waffle House. You know where we went every single time after the game? Waffle House. Mm. Hell yeah, Florida. Florida, man.
Hell yeah, Florida. Oh, yeah. We're definitely Chili's country. There's three Chili's just from what? Like 3 miles from the station.
Yeah, like the closest Chili's to the station is where the person who hit and ran my car last summer ditched his car and fled on foot.
Yeah.
Maybe he went inside to the Chili's and got himself some chicken crispers or some baby back ribs.
Southwest egg rolls.
Man. Oh, it's so good. So good.
Yeah, there's like 10 in the greater Houston area. There's like
not enough.
5 Applebee's.
Good. Well, you know what? You ever want to do a turf war, Chili's? You need some muscle? Sign me up.
Like Roadhouse, but for Chili's?
I would carry the sigil of Chili's.
House Chili's?
Ooh, House Chili's.
House Chili's.
Yeah.
House Chili's. We're just going to combine this and make this a long
segment. That's what we need. We need when we get the print of you and your cat, we need to get like a House Chili's banner that goes behind you guys.
Yeah, with a cat on it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So just get the chili and Aria and you.
So you dropped your spicy Astros take. I got a spicy one for you. I think the Astros are screwing it up with Kyle Tucker.
Oh. In which way?
So imagine the team is saying different things than you about the injury you suffered. Wouldn't that piss you off? Because that's what the Astros did. When we do our Down with Dana Brown segment, I generally go off of what I read about the interview, and then I listen to it after the fact. So I listen to the interview after the fact, and Dana Brown's still not sure that Kyle Tucker broke a bone in his leg. Kyle Tucker said he broke a bone in his leg. And as someone who is in the house of a learned doctor, my sister is a doctor. I told my sister, Joe, about the segment that we do, Astros ER, how we do a segment and we just talk about the injury diagnoses that the Houston Astros give their players, or at least publicly talk about. And she started laughing when I talked about Kyle Tucker being out for 3 months with a bone bruise. She said, that's not real. It doesn't exist. And Sean, if I'm not mistaken, there was somebody who called into the show with Dell, the Dell Olaya show.
Got it.
And didn't want to go on the air.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, the Astros are a bunch of idiots. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Bye.
He basically was saying how I think it was Tucker, because he acknowledged that there was a fracture, that it was at the back of the shin bone as opposed to the front of the shin bone, and that in some way made it harder. And the doctor that I was talking to was like, that's not a thing. Like, it would it would show up on the x-ray. Like, there's no front or back. Like, that makes no difference. The swelling, because that was another thing where we thought, because there's so much swelling initially, they couldn't do an x-ray immediately. He's like, that does not matter. Like, he was very dismissive and very upset about all the messaging and basically treating us like we're morons, which, to be fair, if we didn't know doctors, we would just believe them.
Yeah.
This whole situation's weird, because the first thing that popped in my mind when I saw that was the Dusty Baker, Yordan Alvarez hands thing. That when Yordan, his hand was hurt, and then Dusty told the media before the game that both his hands were hurt, and then Yordan had to then call reporters over to his locker and clarify that, no, that's not the case, and that they didn't know if it was his left hand or his right hand. It's very strange. I don't know if this can't be like a PR strategy, right?
Like, if like, it is, like it's a bad one.
Like a case of like misdirection, of like, we're just going to keep telling everyone different things.
But there's no reason to tell us different things. There's truly no reason. Just say it's broken. Unless this is some weird thing that you're putting in the back of your pocket for contract negotiations this offseason or next year. Like, maybe this is something that they bring into arbitration. We're not sure that it was actually a broken bone and he missed 3 months.
Yeah.
And remember,
I hope not.
Remember when they got into it in arbitration with Kyle Tucker before?
Yeah.
Over, what was it, $2 million? It's like, what's the point? He's Kyle Tucker. You got a bargain. And you may as well give him the extra. It was over $2 million. Like, you guys aren't poor. Look at the payroll you have. So something in the back of all Astros fans' minds should be that the Astros may be messing up the relationship with Kyle Tucker. Obviously, this is more of a something on the back burner than what we just talked about with Alex Bregman, because he's a free agent after this year. But I don't think the Astros are helping themselves keep Kyle Tucker with the way that they have handled the communication with us, with everybody, about Kyle Tucker's injury. Because Dana Brown yesterday on the Astros flagship said that he's still not sure that the injury Kyle Tucker told us he had is the injury that Kyle Tucker told us he had. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it puts your player in such a bad spot. We mentioned the first time that someone finally acknowledged that he has a fracture in his shin was, why lie? Why do we spend so much time talking about Kyle Tucker updates when there was no update to give because he had a fractured shin? And it became it's something that I don't think the three of us ever did it, but you start questioning Kyle Tucker. That's a natural thing of like, wait, this thing's taking so long. I'm sure we've gotten texts and tweets about, are we sure he's not just sitting it out because he doesn't have a contract? Like, it puts your player in such a bad spot when you lie in this way and you let the speculation roam about why he's not on the field.
Exactly, because guess what? Fans are generally going to side with the team over the player.
Almost every time, especially a team as good as the Astros.
Yeah.
They're all for some, like, because the players come and go. The jersey stays the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like they always are going to stand with it. We gave them a little grief last week.
It's been funny, but now I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah, because thought. Yeah, because to what Sean was saying, like the Bees did a segment last week or 2 weeks ago. It was like, do you view Kyle Tucker differently when you talk about his contract, like his future as an Astro?
Oh, wow.
And
they're falling for the propaganda.
I thought it's a wild take, but at the same time, when they're lying to you like this, it opens those
Astros
doors.
Astros, not Killer Bees.
Yes. When the Astros are lying to you like this, it opens the doors to just what is going on with this player and why is he not out there? Because when you say it's a bruise and we see guys take foul balls off the shin regularly, I mean, like Yainer Diaz did like the next day, he's done like probably like 3 or 4 times since, they're fine. Now, Kyle Tucker had also missed time for this before. So I just don't really understand. And yeah, if this wouldn't shock me if this hurts the Astros because they're not. I hope they're on the same page behind the scenes. But it does seem like that Joe Spada, Dana Brown, and Kyle Tucker are all. None of them are on the same page.
I'm with you there. Real quick, another NFL division prediction. AFC North. Ravens are the favorites to win at +140. Bengals second, +150. The Browns at +500. The Steelers at +750. The Browns are the spicy play, but that's if you believe in Deshaun Watson. I don't think there are many people anywhere that believe in Deshaun Watson right now. I think even the most loyal Deshaun Watson absolutists here, now that CJ Stroud's good, you're probably like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm not picking the Browns, by the way. This one's tough. I'm a big Joe Burrow guy. I think he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the game. I want to pick the Bengals here. I do. It's hard to pick them over Baltimore. But guess what? I'm doing it. Bengals, baby!
What a twist.
I talked myself into that
one. What a twist. I could tell.
I'm going to ride with you.
Hell yeah. Let's go, Joe.
I had Baltimore written down, but I can't get over Joe Burrow.
I love Joe.
Yeah, I love Joe Burrow.
You can't get her this year, right? Now I'm starting to talk myself off of this take.
I'm going to go with the Ravens, and it's because it's something that I stumbled into when talking about Ja'Marr Chase and his potential availability for week one with potentially no Chase. We'll see if he plays. Whatever. This is more long-term of what if he rolls an ankle? What if something happens? Without Tyler Boyd, I am not 100% sure who the third wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals is.
And without Joe Mixon.
And without Mixon, they're going to be between Moss and Chase Brown. But it's going to be a lot on Burrow, Chase, Higgins. I'm just going to bet on the stability that is the Baltimore Ravens. I think if Lamar plays every game.
That's fair. There's a reason why it's plus 140, plus 150.
Yeah. It is close.
It's going to come down to a game.
It is close. It's not crazy that we disagree. But yeah. That is my thinking of just the Ravens just feel more stable of a proposition, especially in the regular season. Playoffs? If they play in a playoff game, I don't know who I'm picking. But in regular season, I'm rolling with the Ravens.
That's Sean Mace behind the glass. Joe George to my right. Joe and I are taking the Bengals to win the North. Sean is taking the Ravens. Up next, we are 0 days away from the start of the NFL season. Guys, I found something amazing for you. I don't think you guys have heard this. You're going to laugh. Because there actually is a player who wore number 0 here in Houston, and the man made a song. He released a song, and we will play that song for you next. Galana George, stay put. 0 days away. Doing a little math here. I think we're less than 6 hours away, Joe George. I believe tonight's kickoff for Chiefs and Ravens Arrowhead Field is at 7:20 on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites.
Hopefully it's 7:20. I know there's going to be all the song and dance before the game still. Because they got to do the rings again.
And you've got your teeth surgery
it's
at 4 o'clock.
So I think
you can watch this
good.
Game on drugs maybe, Joe.
I think I'm just going to have just like this the numbing.
Oh, they're not going to.
I think they'll give me like some like pain meds.
They're not going
to
put you out? For those who don't know, Joe, great guy that he is, helped a friend move and the friend fell and the couch hit him in the face. And now your tooth after 5 days is just going out.
Should I try to get him to pay for it?
Yes! Yes! You helped him move!
I feel like just like that. That puts the friendship up in the air. Makes it dicey.
Don't. Okay.
I told him he has to buy me soup.
He has to buy you soup?
Yeah.
Try to get some ice cream, too.
I don't know.
It's a good idea.
I don't think you make demands. I think you just hold it over him for the rest of his life.
That's another good move.
Yeah. Do what you do in a marriage.
Yeah.
In
when I have to move next,
yeah.
Be like, hey, dude.
Right.
You have no option.
Because he'll try to get out of it now.
Yeah. I actually think you don't ever ask him to pay it back. He can always be in debt.
Yes.
I think that's the way to go.
That's a good idea. I'll handle it.
So,
thank you guys.
To commemorate being 0 days away from the start of the NFL season, there are a lot of players who have worn number 0 in Houston sports history. Aziz Alshire is going to be wearing that for the Texans this year. Shaquille Griffin and Adrian Amos did it for the Texans last year. A couple of players across the NFL who wore it as well. Jim Otto, who was a Hall of Fame center for the Raiders, still got to wear 0-0. Johnny Clement, a Steelers player from 1946 to 1948, who was nicknamed Mr. 0. And Roquan Smith, who you'll see in tonight's Chiefs-Ravens game, also wears number 0. He says it represents a new beginning.
All right, new beginnings.
But the guy that you should remember for number 0, who played in Houston, is the late Kenny Burrow to some. He played for the Houston Oilers from 1971 to 1981, right during the apex of Love You Blue. Went to Texas Southern as well. And I guess he had a brief venture into the world of music because our friend Ken made this song after the 1979 season. It's called Super Bowl Itch.
It's caught by young and old. Can't shake it, so I'm told. Contagious as can be.
STD.
There's no immunity.
STD with a Brian.
Reaching a fever pitch. It's called the Super Bowl. Thing. Rocky forgets to fight. Drag, you love won't bite. Let Campbell get the praise. Just give me the raise. Reaching a fever pitch. It's called the Super Bowl.
One more verse. Joe's nodding his head. Okay,
yeah,
we're done. It's the Super Bowl itch, everybody.
Who's gonna remake it?
Do you think C.J. Stroud would? Do you think Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs would?
I think you have to if you get close.
This is so much better than the Super Bowl Shuffle. Like, just as a song, Super Bowl Shuffle probably definitely more iconic. I don't know why I said probably. Definitely more iconic. Definitely should be remembered more. This is a better song. They like keyboard in it. It's crazy.
I like that he hired some ensemble.
The backup.
Of female backup singers.
The backup singers are hilarious.
I don't really know what they're saying, most of it. And again, this sounds like an STD or a really bad rash.
Yes.
The Super Bowl itch. But you know what? We got the Super Bowl itch here in H-Town. Not Houston Town, Kenny. That's where he went wrong.
Yeah. I wonder if H-Town was, as a phrase,
probably not
hot back then.
Great question, and people who have been here longer than all of us could maybe tell us, because I'm assuming that that became a thing when Houston rap became a thing.
Yeah, I would just maybe. Guess. Just guessing. I can't imagine.
There's no other major city in the United States of America other than Honolulu, which no one is calling H-Town, that begins with an H. If I'm not mistaken, I can't think of any other ones.
No. None jump off the
nope.
top.
Like the town I grew up in Massachusetts, Hanover, 13,000
H-Town.
People. Some people call it H-Town. We had more Dunkin' Donuts than minorities.
Types or individuals?
We had seven Dunkin' Donuts in a town of 13,000. I don't think that many non-white people live in Hanover.
What's your go-to with Dunkin' then?
I don't really like Dunkin'. I think it's crazy to buy coffee from a coffee shop. Make it yourself. It's so much cheaper.
I started because of you. You got me motivated.
I mean, you could. There's the flavors aren't good enough at these places. Like $5 for a Starbucks coffee is insane to me. If Starbucks coffee was really tasty, fine. But HEB, Texas Pecan, or all of the HEB coffees are amazing. All of them. I can't believe people just do the regular stuff.
Yeah, I do like H-E-B coffee.
H-E-B coffee is the best.
I was partial to Dunkin' for a while, but they're like Applebee's. Where do you find them down here? Like, I don't know the last time I saw donuts.
There's one on Memorial.
Okay.
And there's another one, I think, by the airport. I forget which airport, though.
There's one in the airport. There's one at Hobby.
Yeah.
That's the only time I'll get Dunkin'. Because the Starbucks is always crazy there. Mm-hmm. So I'll go to the Dunkin' Donuts instead.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's our NFL countdown for today.
Yeah, not a lot going on.
We need the games to actually start. There's that guy who got fired from Washington. We might see a play that was drawn by Taylor Swift in tonight's Chiefs-Ravens game. And, yeah, there you go.
That's such a weird story that they're trying to make like into something, the whole play thing. There's no way.
We are never, ever, ever throwing a fade on the goal line. I would love that play because no one ever should do that.
It is a bad play.
We are never, ever, ever giving Kadarius Toney the ball again because he's not employed. Anyways, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, continuing our predictions across the NFL. Will the Astros re-sign Alex Bregman? Will the Astros re-sign Kyle Tucker? That's on the table. I also think that Spencer Arrighetti's got to be out of the playoff rotation. And up next, in honor of just Jim Harbaugh being back in our lives as of this weekend. He turned a ginger defensive lineman into a fullback. True story. Who's the most psycho coach in sports right now? Because Joe Mazzulla, he's trying to overtake Jim Harbaugh. Some funny Joe Mazzulla audio next. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros lost again to the Reds yesterday, 12-5. Rough outing for Spencer Arrighetti, who I think has got to be out of the playoff rotation. They are currently tied with the Reds, 0-0 in a game that Joe Espada was ejected from after a weird replay sequence where Alex Bregman, I guess, checked a swing, a ball grazed against him, and they didn't rule it a hit batter. They reviewed it. It looked like it hit him. Maybe it was because the check swing went too far. I don't know. But when they did not overturn it and Alex Bregman eventually struck out on his way to the dugout, it looked like he had been ejected from the game because he said something to the umpire, cheeky. But apparently Joe Espada, manager of the Astros, was ejected from the game and got into it. I feel like if you want to do a glass half full, Joe, on Espada getting ejected, a lot of people were getting mad about how Espada seemed rather demure, if you will. Look at me using the current words by today's hip culture with the umpires and arguing with them. And this time a little more emphatic.
Yeah, because even the last, like the first time he got thrown out was very weird. Like he was very angry, but it was very useless in the moment. Yeah, this is that's one of the dumbest things in sports, I think, Paul.
What?
Is people that get upset that their managers don't get thrown out more. Like I just don't really think it correlates to anything. The Astros still haven't scored a run today since Joe Espada.
Right, it did not give them the offensive boost that in MVP Baseball 2005, the last great baseball video game, when a call didn't go your way, you could send the manager out. And if you did it at the right time, your player's statistics would boost.
We need that.
It's really
in real
stupid
life.
Thing, but I loved it.
It's like when they made the one version of Blitz when you could literally give the guy steroids. It wasn't called Blitz, but It was like you could literally, it would show you breaking their bone, and then you could give them steroids to get back.
Yeah.
It was, I think, Blitz the League.
Is that what's,
okay, but they had, they didn't have NFL licensing.
That's right. That's right.
It went full. Playmakers, any given Sunday.
Yeah, it was all the like insane stereotypes, the cheerleaders, all of it.
I don't even remember the cheerleaders.
I think this game really lives on in my brain in just like the videos that circulate on Twitter every once in a while, where it's just like video games used to be insane. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a cheerleader thing in this one.
Speaking of insane, we all love Jim Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh did something that's fun. Scott Matlock was a Chargers defensive lineman. He's 6'4", he's 300 pounds, redheaded, got a big old beard. His entire right arm is tat-sleeved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks like a Viking.
Yes. He's going to be a fullback?
He has been moved from number 99 to 44 and is listed as a fullback slash defensive lineman in the Chargers' official week one game release. And I just want to say, as I always have said, I love Jim Harbaugh for who he is. I like football coaches who just lean into barbarism. You know, Harbaugh's always entertaining.
Especially because, like, you don't really have to do this.
No, you definitely
like,
don't.
Like, you could just leave him as an interior defensive lineman.
You don't even have to change his number.
Yeah, you can just put him at fullback.
Right, you'd have to declare as eligible every play. Now he doesn't. Now,
yeah.
And I love it. I love that there is a 6'4", 300-pound, redheaded, bearded fullback. That is cool. Make fullbacks cool again. But with Jim Harbaugh on the mind, I thought this would be an easy way to transition into my favorite coach. He actually is my favorite coach because he's the only coach of a team that I root for that's good. I'm talking about Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla, I hope you never change, sir, especially now that you've won a championship. He was asked about people having a target on the Celtics' back for this season.
Okay. I can't wait to see where this is going.
This is so good, Joe. Here's Joe Mazzulla.
You know, people are going to say the target's on our back, but I hope it's right in our forehead in between our eyes. I hope I can see the red dot.
Joe.
He's the king of the Joes.
He's definitely number one. He's an NBA champion. He says things like that. Like,
I hope I can see the red dot.
I hope I can see the red
dot.
What
a psycho.
Like, what a psycho thing to say. But I love it. I think it's great.
It obviously works.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two guys we brought up are, like, pretty clearly the best coach. They're not the best coaches in their league, but they're both top five coaches in their league.
Yeah. Joe Harbaugh wishes he was this cool. God. But he's just not. Or he's John Harbaugh, my bad.
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. Yeah,
it's a lot of J names.
It's a lot of J's. A lot of J's here. Jim Harbaugh, love him. Joe Mazzulla also had this to say about the Animal Kingdom. The person on this podcast, this is Locked On Celtics, had asked him, hey, like, do you have an orca story? And, I mean, of course Joe Mazzulla has an orca story. Here's Joe Mazzulla.
The Animal Kingdom is the most purest form of hierarchy and role definition that there is. Everybody plays their role. If you step outside of it, you get killed. If you do something that you're, you know, if you try to do something with a sense of pride or arrogance, you probably get killed. If you stay within the lines, you know, you survive for as long as you can until you don't anymore. And I think that's just the closest thing to hierarchy, role definition, competition, commitment, and all those things that go into success and survival.
I can't wait until he's done coaching and has a podcast. I will listen to that.
I can't wait for him to be Team USA coach. He's going to be probably not the next Olympics, but he's coming up on – it'll be his turn pretty fast.
He watches The Town once a week.
Yep, I love that.
He gets choked out doing MMA.
Underrated funny part about The Town story. So that story comes out that he watches The Town all the time. And then in the middle of the playoffs – this was like months later. In the middle of the playoffs, someone asked him a Town-related question. Like, is he still watching or something? And he goes, yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, everyone makes a big deal about me watching The Town, but no one ever asked me what my favorite part is. And then they're like, so what is your favorite part? He's like, I don't know. he just volunteers to, like, no one ever asks. Thinking that everyone thought that he had a part that he, like, something he wanted to get off his chest. And he's like, I don't know, there's just so many good scenes, man. And he listed, like, four of them.
Every now and then, too, he'll be asked a question, and he'll bring it back to religion. And people are like, what?
Oh, yeah.
They
asked him about the royal family. I can probably
the
find
royal
this.
Family, right.
They asked him about the royal family being at a Celtics game, and he goes, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
Oh, yep.
I love it. There's another person who might be a candidate for Psycho Coach. I'm a big fan of South Florida Bulls head coach, Alex Golish. Do you remember him this offseason, Joe?
No.
So, USF's playing Alabama this week, an Alabama that does not have Nick Saban anymore. And when asked, the head coach of USF about Miami and Alabama on his schedule. He had this to say.
You're playing teams like Bama, Miami. You played Bama last year as well. Do you think it's important to continue having those matchups, even though last year the playoff committee didn't seem to put much of a value on strength of schedule when setting who that team from this group would be?
Yeah, Bama and Miami got to play South Florida.
I love it. And to his credit, I mean, South Florida was maybe the closest that Alabama came to losing outside of against Texas and Michigan, right?
Yeah, I do. I do love it. You gotta have that mentality. Like if they're gonna be on your schedule, you have to have it. You can't just be like, "What's the team? The North America."
Oh, boy. Yeah, the guys who lost to
Stephen F. Austin.
Stephen F. Austin in a 10-minute second half.
Yeah, like those are soft boys. Like this is this is the way to have it. I don't know if I'd put him in the Joe Mazzulla category, but he has vibes that he could get there. Like we're one press conference away from saying he's the craziest coach in college
football. He's on the watch list.
Yeah.
Hey, keep an eye on this guy.
The guy, I think it's the head coach of Coastal Carolina, also a really fun one. There's some good ones out there. But I'm looking forward to this college football season. Let's get back to the NFL division previews that we've been doing segment by segment. The NFL does kick off today. NFC West, 49ers are favorites at minus 196. The Rams plus 330. The Seahawks plus 700. The Cardinals plus 1300. Is this one where we all agree it's going to be the 49ers?
No. Nope.
I got the 49ers. Oh, okay, Joe. Hit me.
My picks are too chalky. I'm picking the favorites every single time. I got to make something different. I'm taking the Rams.
Okay.
I like Matt Stafford. I know they don't have Aaron Donald. I think we've talked about this, how it wouldn't stun any of us if he came back this year and played. But I like what they have with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum and Puka and Cooper Kupp. Like, I'm going to go with Sean McVay and the Rams.
Only reason I would push back, Stafford's health.
I know.
The guy's the toughest player, I think, in recent NFL history with all he has played through. I feel like at some point he's not going to be able to overcome the very many back injuries that he has dealt with over the course of his career. But to his credit, I mean, last year the Rams were a very surprising good team last year.
Yeah, and they went on a run, a big run last year, and that's part of it. And maybe this is the opposite of Trevor Lawrence with Brock Purdy. That because he was the last pick in the draft, I can never really buy in. Like, I just have this inherent bias.
That probably plays a part.
MVP candidate, Brock Purdy.
I know, but I just can't do it.
How about you, Sean?
I agree with Joe that Matt Stafford's a badass, and I really think their offense is going to be good with Cooper Kupp being healthy, now Nacua, the two running backs that they have. I just have questions about their defense. Losing Donald, replacing him with the two FSU guys versus I forgot the other guy that they got. And then they trade Ernest Jones. They traded their best linebacker a couple weeks ago. I just have a lot of questions on, are they a complete team? So I'm going to go with the Niners.
For what it's worth, Florida State sure misses those defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Given how many yards they gave up.
Versus definitely good. The other guy whose name I forgot, also definitely good. Not good enough for me to remember his name.
But good.
But he's good.
All right. Sean and I have the Niners. Joe has the Rams. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. DJ Bien-Aimé gave us two spicy Houston Texans takes yesterday. We are going to give one spicy Texans take with the season kicking off tonight, a piece about our beloved Houston Texans, who we all think have that Super Bowl itch. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.